This is really an exciting time. Are you all glad you're here? Let me just kind of get a feel for who's out here. How many of you are moms? A lot of you are moms. Would you hold up how many fingers for how many children you have? Okay, we've got a lot of people here. Now, do any of you, you've got to use two hands. Bless you. And then if you have grandchildren, you have to use your feet. How many of you struggle with having a quiet time? Any of you? Oh, good. So you guys look around so you see that you're not alone. Okay. Why don't you hold your hands up one more time and let's give that to the Lord. Father God, we are all women struggling to spend time with you and to find that time, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will bless these women. Take our hearts, Lord Jesus. Take away all the things that we bring into this room that might keep us from hearing your word. Lord, speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm personally impressed about four things about God that God has called us to do. Four things. One of them, I think, is for God, that God has called us to pass him on from generation to generation. It says that over and over in the Psalms. I love Psalm 78, 4 through 4 and 7. It says, but tell to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. I also love 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Now, I think that we can pass them on from generation to generation, our own children, the children we have had. But what I'm experiencing and what I experienced as a child is so many people that invested in my life that were not my family members. My parents did. But there are so many people. I grew up at First Baptist Church in Norman, and I knew Preacher Halleck. Some of you may have known Preacher, but he really spent a lot of time with me as a kid and invested in my life. And it was a joy to be at his feet, even as he was very sick. And he was the pastor of our church for 46 years, and I knew him towards the end of his life. Carolyn Teague is one of the workshop people, and she invested in my life as a college student. And I'm grateful for the impact that she's made in my life. We have a very active church, and I'm very involved in our women's ministry. And there are so many women in our church who have taken on my kids. And are their aunts or grandparents, and love those kids and invest in them spiritually. And I'm thankful for those people who enhance what my husband and I are trying to do at home. And that's a real blessing. So it's not just our own biological children that we're passing him on from generation to generation, but all those around us. The second thing I think he calls us to do is to build up the body of Christ in Ephesians 4. That we are, it talks about how we are all the body of Christ and we need to encourage one another and lift one another up. And I think that's very important according to the gifts that he has given us. Number three is that God has called us to reach out to the world around us. Now, I don't know what that means to you. I don't get out much. I stay in my kitchen. Emily Barnes just talked about organizing her kitchen, and I rarely leave, so I'm trying to cut down on going to the bathroom. But kind of once after I get dressed, that's kind of the end of being in my area of the house, and my changing table is in my laundry room, and so, you know, you spend a lot of time in the laundry room, and when you have three children, the oldest is four, you've changed a lot of diapers, and so I spend a lot of time in that just one area. But I found that my little world is a lot out of that kitchen window, and I can pray out my window for my neighbors and the people around me in my world. God has called us in Matthew 28 to go and witness to the world. And also, I love 1 Chronicles 7 that says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. And I think our land needs healing. You may not know this, but there's a spiritual battle going on. Have you heard? I'm thankful that we know that who the winner is. Our victory is in Christ Jesus, so we don't have to be afraid, but we still have a battle to fight. And I've decided, at least in my life, that it is impossible for me to pass on Jesus Christ. It is impossible for me to build up the body of Christ, and it's impossible for me to reach out to the world if I don't do the fourth thing first. And that is that God has called us to love him and know him. I love Hosea 6:6, and we can memorize that if you want. It's in the Living Bible. I like it especially. It says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Isn't that beautiful? Let's try it. I don't want your sacrifices. Now, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Now, how do you get to know someone? How did you get to know your husbands? How did you get to know? Spending time with them, that's an obvious question. Now, I didn't spend much time with my husband before I met him. Well, before I met him, I didn't spend any time with him at all. But we had a blind date. And 5 weeks later, we were engaged. He was living in Sacramento and doing a residency program out there. I was living in Tulsa, happily single, and had sworn off dating nerds. I was not going to go out on any more blind dates. But I gave him a Sunday night, not a Friday or a Saturday, but a Sunday night for a blind date. And we just fell madly in love. My mother said, you don't fall in love, you fall downstairs. But I really did decide I was going to marry this man, and met his mother a week later, and she said, you're the woman I've been praying for. 2 weeks later, she took me to a mother-daughter banquet and had my picture made with the extended family. So 5 weeks after our blind date, I went out to Sacramento to be with him, and his mother already had the wedding date on the calendar, but we didn't tell him. And he did ask me, she said, he's really analytical, you know, he's a surgeon, and they get real focused and analytical. And she said, don't let him think about it, just tell him you're getting married. And I didn't have to. He was very romantic, and how did I get on this? I know my husband. Now I do. But I had to spend time with him. And it wasn't until we'd been married for about 5 years. Because in residency, we happened to be at the busiest trauma center in the nation. And a surgeon doesn't spend much time awake at home. And so I was blessed to be able to work with him at the same hospital with him. I worked with pediatric patients so I could, you know, at least page him. And got to know him occasionally in the hospital cafeteria. But the same thing is true as we get to know God. We have to spend time with him. And you know, that wasn't so hard for me before I had children. In fact, I learned to have a quiet time. What is a quiet time? Would somebody just describe for me what a quiet time is? Time in prayer. It's quiet, right? Okay, it's quiet. What else? Describe your perfect quiet time. No interruptions. Yes. Okay? Concentration. Say that again. It's time devoted strictly to the Lord. I like a view. I like to sit on my couch and look out at, you know, the trees. I like a cup of coffee. I have this kind of vision, like 45 minutes an hour, maybe some commentaries, a Bible, all the things that I need. And, you know, I loved my quiet time. I did it early in the morning, and I could do that fairly consistently. And then the Lord gave me the desire of my heart. After 3 years of infertility, I had Zachary. And he is a beautiful redhead, and he's a real joy. And I could still continue to have a quiet time. I thought I was busy. Then when he was 4 months old, I found out I was pregnant. And I was delighted because, you see, Zachary hadn't started moving yet. I had no idea what it was going to be like to have 2 13-months apart. But I was so thrilled. You know, I was excited. And the Lord gave us Catherine, who is our second beautiful little redhead. And we just had a great time. I really kind of got focused on sitting on the floor, changing diapers, playing. That's what I like to do. But quiet times became very difficult because they got up early. If they wanted to see Daddy, they had to get up early. And they would always get up, no matter what time my quiet time was, they got up before that. Does that ever happen? And then I'd be sitting there having my quiet time, and they would interrupt. And I'd get this attitude that was not from God. And I thought, now there's something wrong with this picture. If my children are interrupting me and I'm saying, I'm having my time with the Lord. I didn't want them to see that. And yet I felt like I really resented the interruptions. And so what the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, you gave me these kids. You know my job description. Now, how do you plan for me to spend time with you? Because the quiet time that I know is just not working. because I'm tired. I don't get enough sleep, and I don't feel very good. And so the Lord gave me the idea of the Quiet Time mobile unit. And here it is. This, you just use a tray. And this does not work for me anymore because our third born is perpetual motion. And so I don't sit anymore. But this worked with the first two. And what you have on your Quiet Time mobile tray is the Bible. And I like to have my calendar because what Satan likes to do is rob my time. I start thinking of things I need to do, and then I think, oh, I've got to remember that. So if I can go ahead and write it down on my calendar, then I don't have to think about it, and I can move right on. If you like a devotional book, sometimes it's helpful to have your devotional book. I like to keep some stationery. I don't write very many notes to people, but I'm trying to work on that. And sometimes the Lord just gives me a thought for a person, and I like to just drop them a quick note. I don't want to take a lot of time out of my quiet time, but I keep that there. You keep a pen. If you've got toddlers, you want to hide it, because if they find it, they will use it to mark up your Bible. I love this little Mother's Topical Bible. Anything like that that is useful to you. I love to have these just index cards. Sometimes I find a verse when I'm reading that reminds me of my husband. And I like to just jot it down and say, you know, this reminded me of you today. And I find, you know, then if I ride in the car with him or something, he's got it propped up and I realize that it's really staying with him. So that's a nice little love note to your husband. I like to have a cup of something. No caffeine, Emily. I do not drink caffeine in this. No. Occasionally, I do drink caffeine. If you have not broken this addiction, you might have your cordless telephone, if you have one, on your tray. The Lord is healing me of that. I have learned to be able to leave the answering machine on, but we've started homeschooling at our house. And so we'll be sitting around and the phone will ring and the kids will look at me like, is she going to be able to do it? The phone is ringing. Is she going to jump and run and try to answer the phone? And sometimes I have to take a big breath and I can do it. The answering machine handles it just fine. It works out great. But this is a mobile quiet time unit so that you can be ready to have your time with the Lord. Emily was talking earlier about 15-minute segments and of your time. I have to even break it down to 10 minutes and of just being able to have a little bit of time, snatch it so I can take it out. We spend a lot of time in our driveway. I can take it out to the driveway and sit down and be playing with them and still having quiet time with God. Now, what do you think is one of the advantages of having a mobile quiet time unit? Any thoughts? Just right off the top of your head. It's always available. You know what your kids see? They see you spending time with the Lord. Now, they're not going to just learn that because you tell them that. I have a good friend that's written a lot of books on pediatric nursing, and she is so dear. She's an incredible woman, a prolific writer, and written many editions to her books, has one daughter and made a special effort to just work while her daughter was in school and then after she went to bed. When her daughter was late in adolescence, she learned what her mother did. She had no idea. Her mother traveled a lot and spoke a lot of places, but she didn't know what her mother did. And I want my children to know about Jesus. I want him to be such an integral part of their life because they watch me interacting with him as well. We pray without ceasing. Do you know 1 Thessalonians 5:17? It says pray without ceasing. I didn't understand that until I was desperate. Now I'm desperate. I pray without ceasing because I need the help of Jesus a lot. Sometimes the kids will say, Mommy, what are you doing? Oh, I'm praying, Zachary. Well, what are you praying about? Well, I'm really overwhelmed right now. I've got all these things to do, and I'm not sure how I'm going to get it all done. So I'm asking the Lord to give me strength, and I'm just asking Jesus to help me. Or Catherine might say, Mommy, what are you doing? Well, I'm praying. What are you praying about? Well, I'm thanking God that I get to be your mom. You're so precious. And I like to tell him what a joy they are. Little Nicholas is 18 months old, and he is. You know, he is a delight. I wasn't sure what I would do with him when he came because I thought I was busy. And he has just learned to pray because he's watching his big brother and sister. And we have worship time each morning. And I had him on video the other day and I said, Nicholas, show us how you pray. And he put his hands over his eyes and then dropped to his knees, put his face in the pillow and just sat there. Quietly. And then, you know, of course, I couldn't say anything because I was crying, you know, and he's, oh, my baby. So he sat back up, and I just said, thank you, God, for precious Nicholas. And he just nodded, yes. so sweet. Last night we were having trouble. I was having trouble getting here. If any of you all did, I was in 3 traffic jams on the way here, and I was supposed to meet Joyce at 6 o'clock, and so I have a car phone, so I dialed my husband. I said, I just needed to hear somebody's voice. This is my 3rd traffic jam, and I said, maybe you guys could just pray for me that I will find this church. You know, I see something in the distance. It looks like a steeple. And so he goes, okay, we'll do that. And this morning we were in bed drinking coffee, and he said, you should have seen these kids. It was like a platoon of soldiers. I said, let's pray for Mommy. And they were all perfectly still and praying. And I think the Lord listens to those prayers. So I am grateful that we can have time together where the kids can watch and observe and see me praying. One of the things I've done with my prayer time, I'm really excited to be with Emily Barnes because, and I know, is it the next section or the 3rd section you're going to talk about prayer? I'm already learning a great deal from her, but what I had to do for a little while, I had to change what I thought prayer was. And have you heard of the acrostic acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication? That took too long even in my day, so I had to divide it up. I did adoration while I was making my bed because I have to tuck it in. It's a real pain to make. And I do that on my knees, and I thought that's a good place to adore the Father. So I'd plug that in for a time when I would really be able to praise the Lord. Then I thought, you know, the shower is a great time for confession. You're washing it away. It's going down, and you're cleaning up and getting ready for your day. So that was a time that even now, as I'm able to have a more consistent, quiet time, that's still a time where I really try to give to the Lord all of my sins and let Him have them, and so that I don't get bogged down with them. My kitchen sink is my place of intercession. I spend so much time there, and I've just tried to plug in my brain that that is where I can intercede. We are a praying group of women in our church, and we pray for each other a great deal. In fact, right now there are women in our prayer chapel who are praying, and I am grateful for the prayer warriors who lift us up and fight the battles for us. And I hope that you are a part of that. But I like to have places where I know that this is where I'm going to pray. Now, some people have an ottoman that they get around and can really pray. I have to move. I'm moving a lot. You all are too. And so I have to be with Him while I'm moving. And what I found, I used to have a quiet time and I'd close my book and that would kind of be it. And now I have Him throughout the day. I'm spending a lot more time with the Lord because I'm making an effort all the way along to spend time with Him. And that has really been a blessing for me. I like to leave my Bible out on the kitchen cabinet. I used to like to just read the Bible through every year. I thought that was the spiritual thing to do, and I think that's wonderful. I really do. But I have discovered I'm experiencing adult onset attention deficit disorder. Now, I don't know if it's brain damage because of these children. I like to blame it on them as much as possible, but it takes a while for the things to get in there. And so the Lord has done for me, I spent 2 years on the life of Jesus. I get compulsive because I can't control a lot of things in my life, so I like to control things like my grocery list, or which is an order of vials on my computer for 2 stores. That's compulsive behavior. But another thing I did was took the life of Jesus and put it into categories on my computer in a database, and worked on this for 2 years. It was just such a blessing. And this summer we did a 9-week series called Encounter Jesus, which was a tremendous blessing. Other people taught it. I just taught a few of them. But I was so excited because I had done all this work, you know, to prepare, and I was going to give these speakers. It was really great. I was going to give them all these references. So you know what I did? I deleted the entire thing. I lost it. It was the week before we were supposed to start, and I was going to give these speakers, I was so impressed, it was pride, I was going to give them all these references on Encounter Jesus, and I deleted it all. And you know, Encounter Jesus went just fine without that. And in fact, it's we're excited because we're going to continue it through the year here in Oklahoma City in our church, and we're praying. It's going to be on Saturday afternoons. For those of you who are around, we're going to do it tomorrow afternoon. But we're praying that God will break down the denominational and racial barriers, that we can really build up together. I think that that's one of Satan's tricks, is he can say, well, you guys have to meet over here, and you guys have to meet over here, and you can't talk. But I think if we'll draw together and pray together, that the Lord will really bless that, and He will raise up a mighty nation here, even in Oklahoma City. City. So that's what we're praying for at our church, and we're seeing God work in a mighty way through that, and I'm really thankful. So I leave my Bible out, and if it's Ephesians, wherever it is that the Lord has taken me for that season, I really try to get it into my heart as much as I can, and that seems to help. You know, at night, I read to my kids all the time, but I found that I could quote Goodnight Moon. Do you know that? I could quote, yes. I could quote Where the Wild Things Are, and I thought, you know, I need to be quoting the scriptures to my children. And so I love, there's so many good books for kids, but I love the Beginner's Bible. The kids have memorized a lot of these stories. Zachary, who's he's now 4 3/4, he has memorized several of the stories and has them marked in his Bible. And so he can just open up the Bible at that, and he just quotes whatever the story is that he's learned in the Beginner's Bible. And he really is learning to read early because he wants to be able to read his Bible without me having to read it to him, which really touches my heart. Another thing that I love is tapes of the Bible. Have y'all seen this, or you all have? We were able to give this. My husband's in practice with two other wonderful Christian men here in town, and we gave this to all of the employees. This is the New Testament. It's dramatized. There's 250 voices on it. It's all to music, and it is wonderful, especially if you're exercising. You've got the adrenaline going. You're listening to on whatever. If you're walking or whatever it is, it's wonderful, and it gets the word in. That's the key. You know, we're being refined. And Psalms 12 tells us that the word of God is refined like silver. It is pure. And so if we're being refined, we need to put in what is pure. And that's the word of God. And I find that if I can listen again to passages over and over again, right now I'm really into Hebrews 11 and 12. Discipline is a big thing that I'm working on. And I love that hall of faith in Hebrews 11 and the talking about discipline in Hebrews 12. So that's through Hosanna, and I'll just give you the 800 number in case you want it. It's 1-800-545-6552. I just think it's a great resource, 1-800-545-6552. We gave out about 54 of those so far. That company really likes us. You may put Bible verses up on your mirrors. You probably have a lot of ways that you are able to commune with the Lord. I have found, have you heard the Gaither Trio has a song called God Loves to Talk to Little Boys While They're Fishing? Have you heard that? Oh, it's so sweet. If you know anybody who fishes, you'll cry when you listen to that story. I think God loves to talk to mamas while they're vacuuming. I find that quiet lull will drown out whatever is happening in the house. And I have found the Lord gave me an entire plan for the women's ministry at our church. We didn't really have one, and he gave me the entire plan while I was vacuuming one day. I then just wrote it down. I had two kids, so I knew the Lord didn't want me to do that. I just wrote it down for somebody else. And the Lord often wants to use you when you think you can't do it, because then he can do it, right? So he gave me that entire plan, which was so simple to implement, and that all happened while I was vacuuming. Now, I have not vacuumed since, but but I think that's a great opportunity and a great time, and I don't want to waste those times when the Lord wants to speak to me. It's not just in my quiet time in the morning anymore, but it's all the time. I didn't play the piano for about 8 years, and I started again last summer. It was nice when my mother called me and said, "Honey, we're having a shower in the living room here tonight or tomorrow night, and my grand piano is cramping my living room. Would you mind trading with me for your upright?" Can you believe it? I said, yeah. Well, I have this great big living room with no furniture. We have a rotating exhibit, I call it. Sometimes it's an 8-foot teepee. Right now we've got a dollhouse that we're working on, and it's this formal living room. We've been there for 3 years. People come in and say, "Oh, did you just move?" No, but we're going to decorate someday when the children don't have peanut butter on their hands. But the new grand piano helped to get me back on the piano, and I find that after the kids go to sleep and I can spend some time, worship time, on my piano, it's a great, I'm usually awake when I'm playing the piano, and I find, that's not always true, that it really helps me to be able to stay with the Lord. I love to be with a friend. Hopefully you have a friend that you can be accountable to and that you can pray with. My good friend Carolyn Oder, and I went to college together. She's seen me without my makeup on, and she still likes me. She's also married to a surgeon, and so we have similar, you know, he's not home very much either. And she has four children under the age of, well, they were. She had four children in 5 years. And we have a lot in common. So we would meet in our prayer chapel at our church. We'd get a babysitter, and we'd meet for 1 hour. We didn't have to talk much because we know each other so well. And we would just, you know, say, this is what I need to pray for. And then we'd pray. You know, a lot of times women get together to pray and they talk. You may experience this. And so what we did is just made an effort. You know, we've got this precious time together and let's really pray. And oh, that is glorious. Now we just call and say, I've got something going on. I just need you to pray. I've got a lot of women who can do that. And that is just an incredible blessing. And I'm grateful for that. I have found these morning time devotions for children, which are so wonderful. They're preschool kids, kids who can't read yet. And it teaches them to start having a quiet time with the Lord. And I'm going to give you that 800 number. And it's called Morning Time Ministries. They're out of Canada. It's 1-800-263-7671. It's Morning Time Ministries, and I'll tell you again. I just got a message from her from Canada this morning that you can just call, and I think there's a free tape if you'd like to just see what they're like, 1-800-263-7671. And so what you do is you find a place for your children. My kids have rockers that they really like, and they like to get their blanket or whatever, and put these headsets on and have their quiet time with the Lord. They like to get their Bible. Little Nicholas says, Bible, and gets his Bible and carries it around. He likes to destroy the headset, but sometimes he'll listen to it. They've got songs on it, and they guide you through a prayer time, and they're precious. After Zachary had listened to the first one that afternoon, he said, Mommy, I want to pray to God 10 times a day. Now, if you're 4 3/4, 10 is a lot of times a day. He said, I want to pray with him morning, and I want to pray with him at night, and I want to pray with him at halftime, that's noon, and a lot of times in between, because I want Jesus and me to be so very good friends. And I loved that, and I think a lot of that came from these morning time devotionals. They have two sets, and they're just really sweet. You could do that for your own children. You could read the stories, and I think that would be even better. The stories that they know, the stories that, the songs that you all like. And that might really be a blessing for you. I need to tell you the rest of my story because, although a lot of these speakers have already been telling it, and I can't believe it, but my life got worse after having the two children because I really didn't feel very good. I don't know if all of you feel good. I hope you do, but I really didn't feel very good. My feet hurt. I thought pregnant people, you know, all pregnant people had pain in their feet because, you know, we get overloaded. I like to gain about 50 pounds with each pregnancy, and it looks pretty scary towards the end of the time. In fact, when my OB saw me standing up the first time, towards the end of my pregnancy, we were out shopping, and he said, we're having that baby this week. He turned white. He thought, oh, how'd you get in this condition? Well, he was my fertility doctor. He should know. But where was I? Oh, the rest of my story, I didn't feel very good. See, that's the attention deficit disorder, the adult onset attention deficit disorder. And then I started having these strange things with my heart I didn't understand, and I was going to call a cardiologist. My husband suggested I go to the obstetrician, and I was, in fact, pregnant again. I was 2 months along when it dawned on me what was going on, why I was tired. And that last pregnancy was really the pits. I felt so bad. At first, when I got pregnant, I prayed, Lord, third baby. Could I be pregnant for 2 years? Because I really have trouble getting in and out of the van as it is. I can't imagine what I'm going to do with a third baby. I'll never get out again. I have to hire a babysitter to complete a thought. But as things go with pregnancies, towards the end, you think, no, I want this baby out. I didn't feel very good. I started having migraines, and I would do funny things with my head. And one time, I was sitting in this is a terrible sight, but you all can picture it. I was sitting on the bathtub in my bra and panties, you know, just tearful because I felt so crummy. And my husband sat down next to me. He doesn't say very many words. He sat down, put his arm around me, and said, and didn't just looked at me. And I probably tried not to laugh. I don't know. But I turned to him, and I said, shoot me and turn me into glue. And he said, he's very smart, very bright man. And he said, I think you're still good for breeding purposes. But that's really the way I felt. I don't know. And when I talk to people, I find that there are a lot of people who have felt that way or feel that way now. A woman came to me later and she said, I didn't think I was worth glue. And I think that's very sad. But I was glad to be able to have Nicholas because I knew I'd feel better, but I didn't feel better. And I had a lot of belly pain. I had headaches all the time. I had my feet and my legs. And I went to the doctor, and they said, well, I don't know what to do about your feet, but, you know, we can work on your belly. So I went through all these diagnostic procedures, so just ridiculous things. And finally, well, at one point, I really just didn't think I could do this anymore. I didn't think I could be a mom. The Lord was creatively giving me words from Him, things like faint not. You may grow weary, but faint not. If you need those verses, Galatians 6:9, if you're, you know, some of us fly with the eagles. I used to. I'm just right now trying to walk and not faint. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and Hebrews 12:1-3. He gave those to me in a series. And when I got that third Hebrews 12, I cried. I laid down on the bed and I cried. And I said, Lord, You've seen this job description. How do I keep from fainting? And he said, wait on the Lord. Now, a friend of mine said recently when she was speaking, waiting on the Lord is not like waiting on a bus. It's like waiting on a table. Do you get it? Not waiting on. And I love that because we have to keep moving. I was laying down on that bed crying, and then the kids started saying, Mama, I need such and such. So you have to get up and keep going. Well, I stand before you, to make a long story short, feeling very good. And I'm grateful for that. This time of feeling bad, they diagnosed me with fibromyalgia. Some people know what that is. But it's chronic pain and fatigue. And what that did for me is allowed me to say, Connie Baker, you have limits. You can't do it all. And you have to decide, what are your resources? How much energy do you have? How much time do you have? And what are your most important priorities? And you take those resources and you invest them. I like to say I'm in the career of investments. You invest those resources into those most important priorities, and that's what you do. I say, Lord, please don't let me take one step if it's not what you want me to do, because I can't take any extra steps. I don't want to do anything that is not of the Lord. Do you know that God really doesn't need us to do all the things that we're doing? Do y'all find that you get overworked? I think in the church we can get overworked. And God really doesn't need us to do anything, because He's got the cattle, all the cattle on 1,000 hills. But what He wants us to do is to love Him and know Him. And out of that relationship, He will clearly guide us to those things most important for us to do, those things that He wants us to do for His kingdom, that pass Him on from generation to generation, that build up the body of Christ, and that reach out to the world in whatever way He wants us to do. I found that through being sick, and I don't do sick very well. I got really depressed, and I have one of those personalities where people are refreshed when I'm depressed because at least she's quiet. But it's like having a sick child. I had some sick kids this week, and you know, if they're really active and they're quiet for a little while, that's kind of a nice blessing, but you don't want them to be sick. But that's kind of the way I was. And I knew that that was not the way God wanted me to be. And I knew that I couldn't do my job as a mother very well. But I found that through that sickness, that God was able to comfort me. And I was able to let Him do that through my friends. If you have not been prayed for by your sisters in Christ, you've missed out. At our church, we call it sitting in the honey bucket. And they gather around and pray for you. And that is a tremendous blessing. I love 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Are you afflicted? Some of you have experienced that. What my prayer was as I was experiencing all that pain, and sometimes I have bad days still, is that I would learn everything I could possibly learn from that pain so that I could somehow be able to share what I've learned with other people who might be in pain as well. I used to, it's funny, it's really funny. God has a great sense of humor, but I used to be an author and I did a lot of research in pain assessment in children and pain management, and I, you know, did a research study for 5 years, and some of our tools are used around the world or in all these different languages, you know. And now I'm getting to experience, you know, what it's like on the other end, and I think that's really not very funny. But Matthew 11:28-30 is, I'm sure, one that you know. If we didn't get weary, we wouldn't have to come to the Lord so much. And what I find is that when I am weary, I say, Lord, fill me up. Fill up my cup. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. You know, it's my prayer for you at this conference that you will not add to your list one more thing. Because if you're like me, you don't need anything else to do. But what may happen is that the Lord will simplify your life. Because as we become more simple, then we can have more time for Him and to be still and know that He is God. And I don't think we do that very often in our world. And I'm really working at that because I don't want my children to grow up compulsive and workaholics. I want them to learn to be still and know that He is God. So that's my prayer. And I want to give you all a little opportunity to do that. Mamie said this is like a retreat. And yet sometimes we fill ourselves up so much that we don't give ourselves time to work through what we're learning. So I'm just going to play the piano for you all for a little bit, not for performance sake, but because I want you all to have some quiet time with the Lord. Maybe something that the speakers have said already have spoken to you. Maybe you need to just sit and be still with the Lord. Let me ask you one question. You know, I became a Christian when I was 5, and it was really a formality because my parents were great at teaching me about the Lord from the very beginning. But this is kind of a funny question, but I wonder, you know, this conference is not going to make any sense to any of you who are not Christians right now. If you have not made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're wasting your money here because it's just not going to sink in. Does that make sense? So I'm going to just say, if any of you have not made that decision, would you like to get in the honey bucket and we could pray with you and give you the opportunity to do that? And I mean, we're not going to sing Just As I Am or anything. But if you have not made that decision, you might stand up. Okay. Well, I just thought I'd ask. Sometimes we get in our own agenda, and I don't want to miss anyone. So you all just have some quiet time here for just a few minutes and enjoy the time.